we're gathered here today for another episode of The Little Shows That Couldn't. I'm your host, Brett Medill. With me, as usual, co-host Sean Stewart.
Amen.
And our guest for this episode, if you ever listened to Medium Clever, perhaps you heard of this man, Mark Legace.
Hi. Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Welcome, Mark
Legace. No problem at all.
So, you've seen the title. We're starting off with Lucky Louie here today. A show from 2006. It aired in 2006. It was canceled in January 2007, I believe, or it aired its final episodes in 2007. And
premiered on HBO.
Yeah, good old Louis C.K. So let's just jump into it, fellas. Let's start by talking about this animated credit sequence that Lucky Louie has.
Sure.
What do you think of it? What do you the style of it? It's kind of like this.
It looks like a kid drew it. I like it. I like the opening music credits as well.
Yeah, like the music.
It's really catchy.
It's all like as we were watching it, it's all very kind of blue collar. It sets the tone, I think,
yeah,
for the
definitely.
Show.
Absolutely.
For sure. And like you were saying, it's kind of like this kind of scaled back kind of animation or something.
A little
bit,
where
it's like everything, it's almost like kind of freeze framed or like very kind of like, I don't know what you'd call that kind of like animations that are just kind of taking pictures of things and just kind of almost like a South Park style of like early
like
South Park,
or
just
something?
Stop motion almost, but a little bit smoother than that. But like the music, I think, is what stands out the most for me of that
definitely.
Credit.
And it makes the setting very clear to me as well, because it's like it's set in New York City, but not like the high rises part of New York City.
Yeah.
You know, it's in one of the, it's like out in Queens somewhere or something. You know, I'm not actually sure where they're supposed to be, but it's good. And one thing that I can't help but notice is I wonder if this just changed during the production of the show or what, but like, Louis doesn't have any baldness going on in the animated version of himself.
No. I never really caught
that. Animated Louis in the opening title sequence. Animated Louis's got a full head of hair.
I never caught that. I always associate him with a bald spot, so it's just
not.
It's just always like in my brain, hardwired. Like, oh, he just has a bald spot now.
Not in that animated sequence, friends.
I'll have to check that out for the next.
Yeah,
part.
I'm not sure what the.
I wonder if that was like him, where like they drew it with like a huge bald spot, and he's like, it's. You guys can actually fix it a little bit in animation. Like, you can make it not look as bad as it is, guys. Come on. It's like it's my show. Can we at least make it look like a little
can
bit
I have
better?
Some
here?
Hair, please.
If we're gonna paint me, can we paint me with hair?
Yeah, exactly.
In a fantasy world where we have full control over everything, can I have a little bit more hair? Like,
please.
Yeah,
please. But all the characters look appropriately like themselves and get characterized very quickly in those opening sequences. And I think that in that first episode as well. All the characters get set up lightning quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no growing pains. Like, it really comes off right away. You're like, this is a one-season show? Because it comes off a
it
lot
feels
more
like it's
polished.
Been going on for a while, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, most, definitely. Especially, it doesn't feel like a pilot. You know, like, most pilot episodes, it's
for
a lot
sure.
of, there's a lot of exposition and a lot of, like, hey, Sean. I'm sure glad that I work at the muffler shop with you. You're my good muffler shop buddy.
Well, that makes sense because we live together.
You're my best friend.
There was a little bit of that, I mean, exposition, but...
But it was more subtle, like, see you at work tomorrow, not like, hello, thank you, friend that I work with.
There's, like, maybe, like, just a touch of that at the beginning when they just introduce Uncle Jerry.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then he just disappears and doesn't really, just like, yeah, sorry, Uncle Jerry, blah, blah, blah. And we get the sense of, like, you know, a bit of his character.
But he makes a splash by giving a replica gun at that birthday party.
It's definitely worth it, for sure.
Yeah. Have Rick Shapiro on your show. He's a maniac. It's a good idea.
And he'll hang dong, as we'll see in later episodes.
Oh, come on, Sean! That's what we call a teaser in the podcast business.
Hang on to that thought.
That's a tease. Rick Shapiro's cock on the horizon.
Be prepared.
Be prepared to imagine it when you're listening.
Yeah.
Prepared to imagine.
Well,
and then
I assume people are watching when they listen.
True.
Or they have watched fairly recently. They know what we're talking about.
Be reminded, they'll be reminded.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's very much low definition. I'm watching
absolutely.
It and I'm just like, this looks kind of crappy. I think also, I think the lighting isn't as good on this. I don't think it's as well lit as a lot of like broadcast shows are.
Yeah, no, I'd agree.
I suppose, yeah.
I think that was almost intentional. It seems like they're trying to go for like a, a pretty gritty feel in the apartment and everything like that. Kind of dark corners everywhere.
Well, the apartment is a one-room apartment.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They it's not like they're they got a ton of space or anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
So we start off with Lucy's birthday, as we said. Uncle Jerry giving Lucy a replica gun for her fourth birthday. Like any good uncle would.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even the neighbors from across the hall come in and give her a black Barbie.
Yeah,
right, after she was just given another Barbie, a white Barbie, from her...
I think you're missing...
From Louis.
You know, Sean, you got a lot of underlying assumptions here that I don't care for. You know, she was given two Barbies for her birthday.
Yeah.
They're just two Barbies, you guys. They're just two Barbies. I don't see why we have to go... pointing out, highlighting all these differences between them. All I could think was, hey, that little girl over there is wearing a poncho. That's all I could think in the entire scene is like, okay, white Barbie, black Barbie gun. That little girl is wearing a poncho, isn't she?
Wait,
what's happening over here? Laura Keitlinger's daughter.
Yeah.
I'm like,
oh, okay.
Like, that little...
Maybe it was raining? I don't know.
Is that a...
Could be.
No, like a Mexican-style poncho. Like a...
Oh. Or, well, maybe it was,
you know,
dusty. I don't
like
know.
Like, she was wearing a blanket as a coat, is what I'm trying to say. Okay?
Hey,
blanket
times
shirt
are tough
coat.
In New York. They gotta make do with what they have.
We're going to this four-year-old's birthday party. Put on your fancy blanket. It's a special occasion. No, the one with just one hole.
Wrap around.
The one with just one hole in it. For your head. Jesus.
So the party wraps up fairly quickly, and we're left to Louis' own devices.
Right.
Mostly magazines and a closet.
Right. Well, I mean, this episode is about Louis and his dick and his masturbating and his wife wanting to be pregnant, right? That's our main conflict, right? Our main conflict here is about Louis and his sperms and where he puts them and his wife's...
And where Kim is...
Yeah, where Kim would like them to be put and whatnots.
Yeah.
Proper locations of sperm is the main argument between the characters in this particular episode. But yeah, Louis gets some great advice from his buddy Mike, right? I mean, he gets tipped off. I don't know.
All kinds of tips from Mike and his buddy Rich, played by Jim Norton.
I just can't get over Jim Norton's his house coat. He's in public. He's wearing like basketball shorts, like slippers and a house coat, but he's just out in the world. Having a meal, meeting the guys for lunch.
Selling some weed in the bathroom.
Yeah. Selling weed in the bathroom. Why not?
I do like that, like, the first time that, before they reveal that he's a drug dealer, and it's like, I'll meet you in the bathroom, you're like, whoa, like, I have no idea how sketchy this guy might be. What is he, like, what kind of deal is going on in the bathroom here?
Yeah. But. For sure.
That's good.
After he just talked about getting a hand job.
Yeah, exactly, right?
2 weeks ago.
He's like, not.
What's going on?
He's playing like a slightly fictionalized version of himself.
Slightly in that he isn't selling weed in real life. He probably did get that hand job.
Can you confirm that, though?
No. That's true. So maybe he is. We don't know.
It's entirely possible. You never know.
Do not know.
Sure. Jim Norton could be up
to make any
all
assumptions
sorts of
here.
Weird stuff. I mean, I'm sure he's up to all sorts of weird stuff. He's Jim Norton.
So also going on in this episode, Louis is trying his damnedest to get on his neighbor's good side because he needs more black friends for his daughter.
Yeah, he's getting... What do you think of Jerry Minor, Mark?
I think we're not at this part yet, but I think he was definitely one of the biggest characters in this episode. Every scene he was in was so cringeworthy, but like in that like amazingly, where you're almost like in a Curb Your Enthusiasm kind of style, where you're just like, are you really gonna why are you doing this? Like,
stop,
you're digging a hole.
That.
Stop digging a hole.
I guess, should we wrap the plot up, Sean? I guess we should wrap the plot up.
Okay, sure.
He screws up and forgets when did he invited the neighbors over for dinner.
For meatballs.
Right.
They just ate right as they come in.
And then they ha- and then, but in the end, Jerry Minor agrees to tolerate Louis in order to
help his daughter distinguish a black man between a black man and a refrigerator.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which is important business. I mean, you can't screw that up in real life.
You know, I'm from a small town, and for the first 12 years of my life, I didn't know the difference between a black man and a refrigerator.
Wow.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Oh, and a doctor. Or a doctor. Right. I thought that refrigerator, doctor, black person. Those were the only options. So
how wrong you were when you came to the big city of Winnipeg.
Found out that wasn't like that.
So Louis' wife wants a kid.
That's another kid.
That's the main plot going on in this episode.
Well, why can't she have one?
Well, they can't afford it, for one.
Right.
That's the big one.
I think that's pretty much the one.
That's the other major kind of plot that they point that they established in this first episode is that they are broke. They are painfully broke.
They have -$50 in the account.
Yeah, as Louis puts it, they need to raise $50 to be broke. So
exactly. So not much going on there. But by the end of the episode, Louis wants to have a kid out of spite of society. It seems like.
Unfortunately, Louis doesn't have enough skills to have like a job that pays enough to pay for child care.
Yeah,
right.
So he's kind of just stuck where he's at.
I think we kind
of a lot of ways.
We glossed over the cold open too.
I was gonna say
the, kind of the playback to Louis C.K.'s bit on like kids asking why.
Why question?
Yeah,
which
you're
also
right,
adds a lot of exposition just for like the whole show, and it sets up how his wife is the breadwinner in the family and how he's kind of just coasted through life, it seems, not giving really much of a crap about anything. And beyond that, it's just a great allusion to like one of my favorite Louis C.K. bits. So,
yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we definitely understand that this is like a guy who kind of finds himself in this situation.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I guess this is what's happening in my life.
Yeah.
He also does the marriage bit from his stand-up as well.
Yeah, you're right. There's definitely a couple bits in this first episode that are directly tied to his stand-up.
Which is typical, I think, of when comedians first get a show. They just use the material that works.
Sure. Absolutely. As long as they don't just like stop the show and start delivering that material to the audience.
And then what's the deal with this? Right, guys? Yeah. Like, I also like that they use an actual audience instead of
the show,
a tape.
It has a... Yeah, it's very much kind of like laughter. A... Honeymooners-ish type style thing.
Which is what Louis was going for. So it works.
Yeah, all the sets aren't as elaborate as they would be on Friends. Friends was just like their art directed to hell.
They have like all sorts
everywhere.
Of like art everywhere on the walls and stuff. Yeah. That's not a priority here for
this
family.
No, that's not what these people
are
about.
That's the vanity fountain in the corner. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, that's not what's happening. Mm-hmm. We have the... We have Jessica Simpson in a magazine. Like, he's not even buying, like, sexy magazines or anything. He's just, like...
I would note a subtle touch there that I noticed is when he's flipping through the magazine, some of the pages are stuck together. A very nice touch by the props guy there. Very
this
nice.
This isn't
subtle.
The first time.
Was it, though? Because he looked like he picked that up for the first time.
Oh, I know. If you look back on it, he flips the pages, and it's like... There's space between them, but they... Both flip at the same pace, sort of. Like, he's just pulling on one, but the other one's kind of coming along for the ride, sort of. Yeah.
Gross.
Pretty gross.
Hey, we are, talking about... That's the whole point of this
episode, and that's
right?
The thing is that also, that they're... This is a sitcom on HBO.
Yeah.
Have you seen that before?
No.
Not quite like this. Exactly. Not like this. Sure, I mean, there's... Entourage, you could make an argument as a sitcom and Larry Sanders Show and stuff, but like not like this. This is a different thing.
I mean, I think, other shows have to like rely so heavily on like innuendo or just like kind of like wordplay, whereas they're just allowed to just talk
just
straight up.
Direct,
like,
they just directly do it.
Yeah, it's just like, these characters are allowed to speak the way these characters might actually speak.
Yeah.
Like, we can actually write believable real world kind of weirdos and blue collar characters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And say F-bombs. Drop some
hard
F-bombs.
Just
for the hell of
reckless abandon with the F-bombs.
Yeah.
Just get them out there. Get going. Put your shorts on, Jim Norton. Get in the game.
Yeah.
Take your house coat off, maybe.
No, I don't want to.
I mean, I can't remember.
Do you want to get a better look at his body?
That's true.
I can't remember if that was the first episode, the second episode, where you even see just a flash of Louis's penis. I can't remember.
that was the second episode.
Was it the second one? I'm jumping ahead. Don't know why I wanted to
teaser,
get into that so
big
fast.
Big teaser. There's another teaser.
But that happens.
Get ready for it.
I think I must have blocked that memory from my mind because I was completely caught off guard by that again. So.
Oh! I remember Rick Shapiro's dick.
Back now.
I remember Rick Shapiro's dick, but not this Louis C.K. flesh that just jumping out at me. And you know he's shooting that scene. He's just waiting for that moment where he's gonna whip the sheet back and go flying out.
He's like, oh, Jesus. And there's
a whole audience there just like, I'm going to make them all see this. Oh, yeah. Sure, the camera only caught a little bit of that. That crowd got an eyeful. Yeah, let's just move on. Sure, second episode.
We pretty much covered episode
yeah,
one.
Yeah, leap right into the plot here. So the second episode, what happens, Sean?
Well, they decided that they do want to make another baby, so they do a lot of banging.
Yeah.
And this cold opening actually starts off with Walter's wife, Walter being their neighbor, played by Jerry Minor.
Right.
Moaning like there's no tomorrow. And they both think Walter and Ellen are having spectacular sex when it turns out Walter wasn't even there for the whole week.
Yeah.
So we suspect that that Ellen is cheating on Walter.
Yep.
And
Louis's self-conscious about his own
performance, let's say.
Performance.
Right. Because his wife doesn't make those sounds.
Right.
And,
so he tries his damnedest to get her to make those sounds, but with no luck.
I can't remember. What does she say to him while they're having sex?
Release the doves.
Release,
She's like, it's okay. Like,
but
isn't she just release the doves.
Or something. She like just like this is just like when I was like, oh.
There were definitely some moments of not.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I've had enough of
that.
Like, just great real world type things. Yeah. Just like great stuff that you don't see on Modern Family.
No.
Yeah, for sure.
No. But yeah.
So then Rich comes by to pick up some urine that he got sent to Louis' place for some reason.
Before Julian on the Trailer Park Boys, there was a different sitcom character who was selling urine, it turns out. And it was Squirrely Jimmy Norton.
Did Julian end up selling urine?
On the most recent season, Julian's scam is to get clean urine from the army base. That was the movie. Sorry, that was movie. That was the movie. Don't legalize it.
Okay, yes, I never saw that one yet.
That's no, really? Oh, it's a good familiar. One. But
Anyway, but that's neither here nor there. That's not Lucky Louie. That's Trailer Park Boys, a show with many seasons that we won't be talking about on this show.
Yeah.
Except for times like that where we have tangents. Yeah. It may or may not get edited out.
No, that's staying in.
But yeah, the urine gambit. It's a value-added service for his drug customers to sell them clean piss, which is something that I guess you need in the United States because employers are constantly making you pee or something.
Have you ever had to do a drug test ever?
No.
Neither of you?
No.
Not a drug test,
I don't think so.
No, me neither.
Not one that I recall.
They're pretty lax about this. In Alberta, you'd be like, they tax you with urine tests.
What?
Yeah. You have to pay money and then take a urine test if you want to buy anything in Alberta.
Welcome to the gas station. Can I just fill her up? Piss in the cup and we'll fill her up.
Do it.
We fill her up while you piss in the cup.
It's like Domo, but weirder.
It's like Domo, but a lot more urine-y. A lot more ammonia.
Yeah.
I don't think you should keep that much ammonia near that much gasoline. Hmm. Seems like a bad idea.
I don't know.
I think we're getting off topic. I am.
What topic?
Lucky Louie.
Lucky Louie.
So then Louie actually manages to make his wife have her first orgasm ever.
For the first time in her life.
Ooh.
She's a changed woman.
And is this a good thing?
Not really.
Not
for
necessarily.
Louis.
Doesn't seem to be. Not for Louis, anyways, yeah.
Creates a lot of pressure for Louis.
That, yeah, and she won't let him come until she comes.
Yeah.
Which is some terrifying logic for some guys. Most, all guys, really, if you think about it. Well, some
reveal,
guys.
You're pulling back the curtain here, Sean.
Go on, Sean.
Let me, don't let us stand in the way.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and also when he's trying to recreate the moment, he's trying to figure out where his head was. And that was a great scene.
Oh, yes, yes.
That was a great, yeah.
Well, he has a talk down with Mike to find out what was going on in his head at that time, and yeah, turns out he needed to hate her just a little bit to get her into that,
But it's then ultimately, it still didn't work, though.
Yeah, because... Right. She needed to be in the right headspace, and in her headspace, he doesn't exist.
That's right.
So
or nothing.
So really, a lot of problems, a lot of deep red flags being raised in this episode. We're in episode two, the red flag episode. kind of tough. Kind of tough stuff going on here.
Wife.
Yeah.
And then Kim hates. Kim doesn't want anything to exist.
Yeah.
And. Walter's wife is masturbating.
Yeah, as we find out, because Louis suspects that, well, I guess he tells Walter about it, and then Walter confronts his wife, only to find out awkwardly that, no, she's not cheating on him. Oh, boy. Just...
Well, hey, some people would consider that cheating.
And those people would be idiots. Yeah. But, okay.
Cheating on me with a toy. Some serious... plastic betrayal.
Yep.
God damn you, G.I. Joe.
But that realistic kung fu grip.
Karate chop action.
Yeah. But then Walter and Louis have the opportunity to bond over their love life troubles while they're lazily folding laundry. two men who apparently
really
have
folding?
Never folded laundry in their lives. You know, they're believable as New Yorkers. They're going to, like, fluff and fold
Fair
these
enough.
Two guys, right, in their real lives. They don't know what to do with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, true enough.
And it's obvious they can't be trusted with this task
it has to
at
be
home.
Their first time.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a, I don't know, what, Mark, what's your verdict on these first two episodes of Lucky Louie?
I mean, aside from maybe being a little bit, I don't know. It's good with this familiar humor from his stand-up in that first episode, but like that one seems to almost rely too much on it. But the moments where he's not just doing his own bits are still pretty strong. The second one, he kind of is more kind of standing on its own as its own episode. And I like where it's progressing at this point in it. So two thumbs up for both episodes, I guess, would be for me. I mean, we're still laughing at watching it, and we've both seen it before. It's nothing's new.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah. This is definitely one of those shows.
Yeah.
For me, where, I remember it fondly, and it's going to be hard for me to be super objective about it, but it's kind of like, why did this show only get one season?
It really makes no sense. Apparently, they had the ratings, they had scripts for another season.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't in the books, I guess.
Absolutely. So I guess we'll... Just straight up, who's your MVP then for these two episodes, Mark?
I'd say Walter's, like Jerry's, is it Minor?
Jerry Minor.
Jerry Minor. I mean, I think he's just, especially in that first episode, it's just so much just awesomeness. That garbage scene, and then where he's like, where Louis is trying to justify that he's not a racist, and he's just like, I never even considered that racism was an issue here. Just like so wonderfully. Awkward, and then just as it builds on, and like,
and it gets worse the more he tries to make it better.
I was upset because you're a shitty person, not because you're a shitty person who's also a racist.
It kind of reflects onto the audience too, like he's like the average person. You should be like, this is an awful family, like nobody should like these people.
Yeah,
but like
absolutely.
But of course, you know, you cheer for Louis, but you're like, why am I cheering for him again? He's
you're right. Like Walter's really more of like our, as an audience, he's really more of our reasonable person, our window into Louis's life.
And then in the second one, he's fleshed out more as a character, and we see that he's got issues in his relationships too. So everyone's kind of struggling, it seems.
But he still comes across as a more of the everyman, really, yeah. in this situation. Like,
yeah.
Because Louis's just a hardcore schlub. Like, yeah. he's just really well, leaning into whatever. But, I don't know. Sean, who's your MVP?
My MVP, I'm going to say Mike.
Okay.
Because in both episodes, he gives Louis advice. I don't even want to say good advice. Like, he just gives him advice. He clearly doesn't give a shit. It's he works for me as a character, and
he's playing like the Wilson role from Home Improvement a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. Except oh, okay. fatter and uglier, and allegedly uglier and mustachier.
I think Winston was Wilson. Wilson was must have been far uglier. They had to hide him with a fence.
Exactly for like the mm-hmm. entire
for like
the
12
show.
Years. They hid that guy with a fence.
He was clearly
did they ever show his deformed. Face? Did they show his face
probably
in an
the
episode?
Series finale?
Maybe.
But I don't. Yeah. Other than that, I don't think so.
I seem to recall an episode. Like they always would frame him out though, all the time. I think there was even like an episode where it was like kind of like a behind the scenes one where he came out and he
yeah.
still had.
I remember that. I don't remember the context at all. Where
but.
It was like the actors were coming out to say hello to the studio audience, and it's like he came out with a fence held in front of his face.
Yeah. So.
God damn it, Wilson.
Elephantitis. Yeah. That's clearly the only answer.
But
right.
But
how about
yeah.
How about yourself, Brett? Who's your MVP?
I got to go with Jerry Minor as well. I'm with Mark on this one. He gets so much comedy done with a look, like
yeah,
over
say,
and over and over again.
Just that
just
disappointed
look
just of
the disappointment. Yeah,
yeah just you don't need anything else. You just watch him. And you're like, yeah, it's okay, man. Like, yeah, they suck. It's
yeah,
we get it.
We all agree. Aw, no, this blows for you. But yeah, I've got to take Jerry Minor. He's my favorite. I've been following him a little bit ever since he was a featured player on Saturday Night Live a million years ago.
Wow.
Was he on SNL?
For like one season he was like a featured player along with like Horatio Sanz and Jimmy Fallon and shit like 15 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cuz I remember him on Mr. Show. That's where I got my first
That's right.
Jerry
he was
Minor.
On Mr. Show as well.
Was he? When like which season?
For like ever.
Really?
He was in a couple of the episodes, I'm pretty sure.
Because heaven and God in the Bible.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I definitely remember him from that sketch, right?
Yeah, he was in... Well, yeah. He was
yeah, he's the... He's
he was
the
audience member.
Yeah, he's the audience... Right. Yeah. Anyway, Jerry Minor's great.
Yeah, he's definitely... Especially in this show. He's got a really good character to work with here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the
and
thing.
And I'm looking forward to seeing more of him.
You see Jerry Minor in things, but you never really remember what you saw him in, because he generally doesn't get these bigger meatier roles, right? He's usually got little bit roles and day player type roles, but no, he's great. I'm a big fan, and a lot of reaction based comedy tonight from Jerry Minor, those first two episodes.
Yeah.
So then, Mark, I'm going to cast you in a role right now as our wine expert.
Okay.
And you're tasting the Lucky Louie wine. It's a vintage 2006 wine from New York, New York.
Okay.
And what do you when this wine first gets into your mouth? What are you tasting? What are you sensing here?
Well, it's certainly not a rich wine. It seems like, but it's got a lot of character, I guess you could say, to it. Maybe an oak finish. I'm sensing a little bit of an oak finish, but I'd probably pair it with maybe a nice cheddar or something. I don't know. Maybe maybe like a cheddar grilled cheese sandwich perhaps would be appropriate, but it's a little bit something low class or something. You know, this is definitely a wine that you drink just to get drunk, not something you would necessarily bring out for the your grandparents coming over or anything like that.
Are you going to drink it out of a wine glass, or are you going to drink it out of like a different type
I'd
of receptacle?
You'd probably drink this out of the bag. Like it would be like it's good stuff and it's pretty cheap, but yeah, again, not something I'd be bringing out for like the fancy dinner.
So you heard it here first, folks. If you're hosting a fancy Lucky Louie themed party, you're gonna want to serve You're going to want to serve bagged wine with grilled cheese to really capture the feeling and the flavors of Lucky Louie. And if you can, accompany that, the only utensil that should be served alongside this is a replica handgun.
Yes.
Right.
That is you have to eat this cheese sandwich with a replica handgun.
And a glass of clean urine.
I didn't know that Budweiser was a sponsor for you guys.
I saw MGD. I thought it was MGD was all over the first episode. When when Louis sitting in the park, cracking a beer on the picnic tape at the park bench.
Yeah,
that's legal.
Yeah, absolutely. So oak finish, grilled cheese, Lucky Louie. I think that's great, you guys. Yeah. Mark, was that or was that not real monsters?
Well, there was a moment where I thought it might be, but by the end of it, I was pretty sure it was not.
I'm glad. I'm glad that in the end, we could reach the conclusion that we could all agree that was Lucky Louie, not real monsters.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, until next time, it's a little shows that couldn't podcast. Check us out. We've got our Twitter, at Little Shows Pod, our website, littleshowspod.com. We are listed on iTunes. You can find us there. And our guest, Mark Legace, he's a new stand-up comic, and he's got some shows and things of his own. Do you want to tell the people where they can find your stuff, Mark?
Yeah, you can find us on iTunes. Me and Dustin Pernitsky co-host Small Screen Studs. It's recorded at Red River College campus, and like I said, you can find us on iTunes. We're on that. I think all the episodes should be posting there. I think so. I don't check necessarily myself, but probably some other things. But
what's your Twitter handle, Mark?
Oh, my Twitter handle, it's Mark Legace 88. I'll probably have to spell that MarkLegace 88, which is my birth year, of course. So
all right. So you can find Mark in his different spots.
Yeah.
And you can find Lucky Louie in wherever your personal resources are online. I'm not going to question
DVD
it.
DVD
sales and streamings and whatnot. But enjoy it. We'll be back with a couple more, with five more episodes about Lucky Louie. So until next time.